Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Read, read, books, books. Read, read, books, books.
Read, read, books, books. Hold them in your hand. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 10 minutes after 10 o'clock, all roads lead to Woodstock. And while there, and if you have a need to read, you can head right to the front door of the Golden Notebook Bookstore. Jacqueline Callahan of the Golden Notebook has been keeping track of what literary pursuits are worth our precious time and money and is here to give us an update. Jackie, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Ray. It's great to be here.
So what do you have for us today?
Well, I thought that I would start out with some kids and middle grade books. A big part of what we do during this time of year, ending up school book fairs. And we go into schools, bring a lot of books, help the schools raise money for their libraries or their PTAs. And so we're really living with a lot of great kids' books right now. And so I'd like to start off with a beautiful picture book by, it's a poem by Billy Collins, and it's called Voyage. And the illustrations are by Karen Romagna, and it's just beautiful. It's a boy, a boat, a book, and his imagination turning what's happening onto the pages kind of into real life.
Can you show me a picture?
I can. Look at the cover.
It's lovely.
The cover's really beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a very calm, quiet book. There's not a lot of words in the poem.
Read me the first page.
Oh, I would love to. A boy climbs into a boat.
That's one page. That's how you extend it to a full book?
Yeah, and pushes it off to the open sea. This was actually a poem that Billy Collins wrote for one of the heads at the Library of Congress, actually the director of the center for the book at the Library of Congress.
And that's beautiful illustrations.
Yeah.
Lovely.
So Voyage by Billy Collins.
Very nice.
The second book is by a Hudson Valley author, Ann Martin. She's won Newbery Honors. She's written a beautiful series of books and about dolls, doll people, and horses. And this is her latest book, which is called Rain, Rain, Homonyms.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Rain,
and the protagonist of this book, and the story is told by a 12-year-old autistic girl. It's set in upstate New York. She lives with her father. She has a dog who's called Rain, and she's obsessed with homonyms. And so when she's kind of going through her daily life, everything's a homonym. It takes place during the time of Hurricane Susanna, a.k.a. Hurricane Irene, which affected us a lot.
Sure it did.
And it's about the magic of this dog in her life, a difficult decision that she makes, and her relationship with her father and her uncle. It's so beautiful. It's so well told. It's a great book for 10, 11-year-old.
Okay, so that is a 10 or 11-year-old book.
I would say even a 12-year-old.
5th, 6th, 7th grade.
Yeah, even 7th or 8th grade.
Okay.
And really, really great book. And in fact, it was in the New York Times top 10 books for kids.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Rain, Rain.
And that is by Ann Martin.
Correct, yeah. Now we're going to turn to some nonfiction for kids. This is a book actually put out by a British comic press called No Brow, and it is a graphic biography of Robert Moses. Robert Carroll's Robert Moses book, like, I love it.
Yeah.
And so, it's a very long book, and it's not one that maybe a 12-year-old would easily pick up. This, on the other hand, is a really beautiful graphic depiction of his life, introducing you to the complexities of an amazing person and all that he did, which was kind of craft modern New York City and all the bridges and beaches and green space around it.
We're talking with Jacqueline Callahan of the Golden Notebook. This fascinates me. When I think graphic novels, I was a kid in the 70s. I think comics. I wonder how accurate historically is this?
Oh, yeah, pretty accurate. It's hitting all the major bullet points of his life. It doesn't go too far over in sort of condemning him for some of the things that they did. He paints him more as a man of his personality and of his generation, and someone from the sort of noblesse oblige, you know, his ideas that he needed to create great spaces for the middle class. And he didn't have a lot of sympathy and empathy for poor people, you know, or others. And that comes out, but it's contextualized appropriately. And so,
there was some research, some serious research that went into this, which is essentially a well-bound and lovely comic book.
Well-bound and lovely graphic? Yeah, no.
Well,
graphic.
My age, that's a comic book.
Yeah. But it's a comic biography.
Yeah.
Really.
And do they mention how he single-handedly pushed the Brooklyn Dodgers out of Brooklyn? I'll never forgive him for that.
They don't.
Okay.
They don't.
Well, that's a fine point in the whole thing. Ancillary, really.
Yeah. It's also, he talks about a lot, and there's even Jane Jacobs gets some coverage, too, because she really opposed Robert Moses in terms of his vision.
And interesting, the graphic design, it's sort of a retro style of the art. It's beautiful.
It's, you know, again, it's not for every kid, but it's interesting. And for someone who, you know, this might be more likely to grab a kid and interest them in, like, the concept of city planning and just very, you know, important historical figures in the 20th century in New York City who really aren't talked about that much, you know. So I kind of love it for that.
That's a neat holiday gift idea for a kid who thinks.
It is, as is this one. We all know about the book Unbroken by Laura Hillenbrand, the movie that's about to come out.
Sure.
And I think that what Laura Hillenbrand and Random House cleverly did was do a YA version of Unbroken, but including lots and lots of pictures of Louis Zamperini, and, you know, just discussing his journey from growing up as a boy to Olympic runner to fly boy to his crash and survival in the Pacific, all of it. And it's a 200-300 page book, but it's a little bit more interesting and grabbing, I think, than just the straight up nonfiction book for a 12 or 13 year old.
So when you translate this into a YA, and so you say 12 or 13 is considered YA?
Well, no, YA might be 4. You know, I mean, to me, that book is for 7th, 8th, 9th graders. If a 15 year old read it, fantastic. Mm-hmm. You know, it can really span a fairly wide age group depending on reading level and depending on interest. So
when you make this story, which has some elements that are unsettling, into a YA story, do you gloss over some of those details when he was captured?
Not necessarily. I mean, you'd probably, some of the really terrible details are left out, but you know that something terrible happened.
Yeah. Okay.
So Unbroken, Laura Hillenbrand. Also, I want to say a word about James Patterson. He is an amazingly prolific author. He has a wonderful series of middle school books that we always have in our book fairs. House of Robots is his most recent. There's the Treasure Hunter series. There's iFunny. And there's his middle school series.
Yeah.
And I just have to say a huge thank you to James Patterson, because this year he's given $1 million to independent bookstores to help us do what we love to do. And we just got a grant yesterday from him
to
support our school book fair.
So the iFunny books, according to my daughters, they're funny.
They're great.
Yeah.
Kids love them. We sell a lot of these books.
You know my only complaint about those school book fairs? Too many toys.
Not if you do it with an independent bookstore, you see. Okay, so we, as the Golden Notebook, work with the school librarians, we work with the teachers to curate the books they want to have. We don't have toys.
If it's a
corporate Scholastic book fair, they're just prepackaged. There's a lot of stuff in it.
Yeah.
So this is curated.
Excellent. Well, you know, that's a great idea, because what will happen is my youngest will want to go, and I'll say, well, you're in kindergarten. You really don't read. It's not for the books. It's for the tchotchkes and toys, which cost you, frankly, in the end.
They do, and it's much better to buy, like, a graded level one book that you could read to
your
little
one. That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. So that's what we do. That's our book fair business. So it is getting to be holiday time. We're all dreaming about food, and here's two of my favorite food-related books in the store right now. Eating Delancey, Celebration of Jewish Food.
Mm.
Photographs by Aaron Resnay.
See some potato pancakes on the cover there.
Introduction by Joan Rivers. And basically it's a book with a lot of different famous Jewish people writing about their favorite Jewish food. And so, for instance, you have Michael Lang talking about how pickled herring saved the Woodstock Festival.
Really?
Yes.
In what way?
Well, he was in a dispute with Bill Graham. Bill Graham was real unhappy
that the festival was
happening. Yeah. And so basically they negotiated a meeting that happened, you know, in the city over pickled herring to kind of talk things out, you know, at Ratner's.
Nice.
Yeah. So this book is filled with memories, great reads, great pictures, and some recipes.
Okay.
Eating Delancey.
Beautiful
we have
book.
Signed copies at the Golden Notebook because we did a great event with them. Next book is by Gabrielle Hamilton. It's a cookbook. It's called Prune.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And she wrote an amazing memoir a few years ago called Blood, Bones, and Butter about, you know, her journey, her memoir as a chef. And this is the cookbook of her restaurant. And it's really, really good. It's marked up in great ways. Like, it's sort of...
You can see finger stains on some of the pages.
Yeah, that's
funny.
I kind of love it. So we've been selling many copies of this book, and it is Prune.
Love it.
So it's holiday time again, and people are like, what do I get for my uncle, aunt, you know, mother, brother, sister, cousin? And it's... I'm a biography fiend. I love to go to biographies. And so here are three faves in the biography memoir category. Rick Bragg wrote this biography on Jerry Lee Lewis.
Mm.
And you know what? It is so much fun to read. He got his name The Killer when he was 12 because he tried to throttle one of his teachers.
Right.
His best buddy gave him that nickname then. And, you know, his life is sort of one lived between obsession with Elvis and the devil.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, I've never read a biography on Jerry Lee Lewis. So he was obsessed with Elvis.
Yeah. I mean, he really thought that he was better than Elvis. Elvis was his competition. But he loved Elvis, too.
Well, he was better than Elvis, wasn't he?
And he came on a few years after Elvis, but he really saw Elvis as being his competition. So it's a great history of rock and roll in all those early years. And, you know, he grew up in Louisiana, real poor, and, you know, didn't really get a lot of focus until his dad gave him a beat-up piano at age 12. Mm-hmm. And he started playing the heck out of it. He really had no issue with anybody's rules except his own. And that leads to a very difficult, you know, kind of sex, drugs, and rock and roll life, but one that, and he's not always likable. In fact, perhaps most unlikable in some ways, but it is a real good read, and it's a fun book.
Okay, Jerry Lee Lewis, his own story.
Another book that I really loved, more memoir-festo than biography, is Amanda Palmer's book called The Art of Asking. And Amanda Palmer is a musician. She started out as a street performer, a statue in Cambridge.
Mm-hmm.
She had a band, the Dresden Dolls. She had a record label. And then she ultimately, or perhaps more recently, raised money and self-financed her own album. And this is about her journey of, like, on the one hand, her symbiotic relationship with her fans and how she asks so much of them, but her difficulty and challenge with asking for stuff. And it also chronicles her relationship with her husband, who is the author Neil Gaiman, and her difficulty in asking him for help. And so
it could be a self-help book to some extent.
It's very unique. It's sort of a philosophical memoir, and it's a wonderful, wonderful book for a young woman, someone who is in a career that is not traditional, because it's really hard if you're living your life as an artist or even as a small business person, you know, and you really need to network and need to think out of the box and start, you know, stop sort of banging yourself over the head for not doing things as they should be. So Amanda Palmer, The Art of Asking.
All right. And quickly, we only have a little bit of time left.
And sort of for your highfalutin literary biography for the season, you could do no wrong with I have a hard time saying that name. Hermione Lee's biography of Penelope Fitzgerald.
And that's a big honking book.
It is. She's a British writer who didn't start publishing till she was 58 years old. She was ace star at Oxford, in the early part of the 20th century, but then had, you know, just a challenging life with her husband and her kids and not a lot of money and needed to just, you know, make money and do things for a while, but then ultimately became a wonderful writer. She had an amazingly interesting life, and this is a fantastic biography.
The Golden Notebook is located on Tinker Street in Woodstock, New York. The website is goldennotebook.com. This list and all of our book picks are available at wamc.org/roundtable. Jackie Callahan, thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Ray.
Have a great holiday season. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.